Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And as always, what a blessing has it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. Some time ago, we started a series on Sunday nights and just preaching the divisions of the Bible, going through every book and the divisions and the books in those divisions. Went into the Old Testament, beginning with book of Genesis, worked all the way through the Old Testament, and now we're working through the New Testament. This is the last book of the Bible. It's a book of prophecy. It was penned by John, the Apostle John, around 95 AD, and it's the revelations of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read the first three verses. This is not going to be an exhaustive study on the book of Revelations, but it will give you an idea, give you an understanding of this book. And that's what we've been doing all along. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being assembled here in your name and sensing your presence in this place. And Father, as we have opened up your holy word that you have preserved for us to know the very mind of a creator God, I pray that you give each one that's here the insight into what you have for each one tonight. I pray that you would use me once again to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation is that which is revealed. Revealed to disclose, to discover, to make known. The book of Revelation is also known as the Apocalypse. You hear the word apocalypse, it's talking about the book of Revelation. It's a biblical account of the end times, which is eschatology, the doctrine, the study, the teaching of the last things. So that's what the book of Revelation is. But mainly, it's God's word. It's God's word written down as God wanted it to be written down. Now, that's the entire Bible. For the English-speaking people, we want to hold on to every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We don't want to change it. And yet today, it's very hard to find those that are holding to the King James Bible. And it's because they're confused and they're blinded and they're looking for an easier reading Bible. We don't need an easier reading Bible. We need to read it as God has preserved it for us. And let the Spirit of God help us in understanding it. Let the preaching of the Word of God help us in understanding it. It's written exactly the way that God wanted it to be written. And all the symbols and typologies and everything else in the book of Revelation, one of the most difficult books for especially any new beginning Christian, new creature in Christ, to read. And yet, I find that people, when they first get saved, that's one of the first books they want to go try to read and understand. And that should be exactly where it's placed. One of the last books that you read for understanding. It requires Old Testament knowledge and spiritual discernment to be able to interpret its meanings. Can I tell you tonight that as you have studied different commentaries. A commentary is a man's idea of what the Bible says. And you can read commentaries and you can glean from different men. There's one Bible, there's multitudes of commentaries, but only one Word of God. But as we look to this, even good men can differ on some of the points of interpretation of this book of Revelation, possibly more than any other book in the Bible. But first, know this. It's God's preserved word. God has worked through mankind to be able to write it down as he inspired them. And then as God used them to preserve it. But it was not preserved by man. This is preserved by God. And it will not pass away. We've had the completion of the Bible some 2,000 years now, the completion of the New Testament scriptures, the completion of the book of Revelation, God's revelation to mankind for some 2,000 years. There have been many a men that tried to rise up to destroy Christianity, tried to destroy the Word of God. They're dead and in hell today, and the Bible is still flourishing, amen, still being preached all around the world. It's proof that God said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. He has kept it for us. So first of all, it is God's preserved word. And second of all, how man interprets it is not as important. Because you can read it for yourself. Amen. And then you can hear somebody preach it, or you can hear somebody, you can read something that somebody said about it, but you have it before you so that you can read the very words of God and then let the Spirit of God direct you in the interpretation and what you can receive out of it. Amen? There's an outline of the book of Revelation, and I believe verse 19, chapter 1 and verse 19 is the key to the book of Revelation. It gives us a three-point outline. Write those things. This is Jesus speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos as he is there to be given the revelations that he is to write. And so he says, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. Chapter 4 through 22 is the things that shall be hereafter. So it is mostly about future prophecy, the book of Revelation. The purpose of the book we found in the first three verses. The immediate purpose is to proclaim a message from a resurrected Savior. A message that will take us into the teachings of God for an eternity. Not just in our lifetime, but for an eternity. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel and unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. So it was to proclaim a message. When we have a better understanding of the book of Revelation, we will have a better understanding of who Jesus is. John saw Jesus, amen, in his glory. And he gives us a picture of Christ in chapter 1. He shows it to his servant. A message that would bless those who would read it, hear it, preached. And then once you've read it and heard it preached, apply it to your life. For he says, the time is at hand. I love it because the time is at hand says there's a deadline. This is what I've given it to you. It's a revelation. It's a full revelation of what God has for his servants. God has for all Christians to understand, to be blessed by. God wants you to know everything that he has revealed to us in the book of Revelation. He has written it down, preserved it for us. And he says, for you're living in a time which you need the truths of God, past, present, and future. You need to understand that this world is not the end. Stop living your life as if this is the end. This is all there is to life. Can I tell you, this is just the beginning, amen? This is just but a vapor, if you will, compared to what we have to look forward to with eternity. We need to understand that. God would have us understand that. He would have us to live our lives with this book of Revelation, with the future prophecies that God has revealed to us in mind, knowing that there's a deadline. It's appointed unto man once to die. You have a deadline in what you can accomplish on this earth. And what you accomplish on this earth for Christ, you will enjoy for an eternity. Matter of fact, Titus writes of that. Look back with me. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2, let me just read it to you. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Jesus Christ introduced and brought to us saving grace, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, what Jesus Christ brought to us concerning this grace, eternal salvation, ought to help us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and give us an understanding that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, looking for, we know that it's coming because it's been prophesied. Jesus has revealed it to us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you have an understanding of why we have the book of Revelation, it's the last book of the Bible. It is the completion of everything that God has for humanity. There is no other revelation that God has for us. This is all there is, and this is all we need leading up to the rapture of the church. And then as the rapture of the church takes place, we have an understanding of what's going to take place from that point all the way through eternity. We have a full revelation of what God has for us to know. And so he first of all says to John, write the things which thou hast seen. This would be chapter 1. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and this first begotten of the dead, resurrected from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God. Praise the Lord for that. That means that we have access to the very throne of God. We have access to the holies of holies. There is a priesthood of all believers. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he has given you access to an almighty holy God, into the presence of God. Yeah. And unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall bewail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, Jesus Christ, the Almighty. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you need to know what you have received, what he has given to you, what he has done for you in Christ. And we have him to look to. He is the Almighty. He dwells within me. Now that's something, boy, that we ought to truly appreciate. Christ in me, the Almighty in me. That has to change a person. If you have faith to believe that, if you have faith to know that, as we have been studying prayer in Sunday school and we're getting ready to go into prayer and fasting month, you have faith to know who God is, and he has given you access to him, and he does not want you to ever forget that he is who he is. And that, because of that, we are to pray without ceasing. That means that we should never be without an understanding of God's awareness in our lives. And no matter what you're going through, you have communications with an almighty God that you can turn to, and you can find peace, and you can find joy, and you can find help, and you can find that strength that you need to make it through anything and everything. If you know who he is. If you see him. It's just not a game. It's just not playing church. But it's reality. This Bible and what we have in it is proof of the reality of God and what he has for us. He's seen Jesus as Lord and God. Verse 18, he writes, this is Jesus giving him, speaking, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He died for you, but he resurrected. And I have the keys of hell and of death. He's the one that determines who goes to a devil's hell. And he's already determined it. It's whoever rejects Christ as Savior. And he has the key of death. He determines when he's finished with our lives on this earth. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Things which thou hast seen. John had seen that in Christ. John knew Jesus Christ. He walked with Jesus Christ. And he, after the resurrection, John, as all the other apostles, it was confirmed that Jesus was who he said he was. And they were willing to go to the grave. They were willing to be crucified following after Christ. At no point after the resurrection did they have doubt about who Jesus was. And they all died martyrs' deaths. John was placed on the Isle of Patmos as a penalty, as a judgment. And there on the Isle of Patmos, God met with John and gave him the revelations for us to have. Amen. I'm just understanding that. Just understanding that should be a blessing to us. Because he said, blessed is he that readeth that, and they that hear the words being preached of that, and then act upon it or keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We need it more today than ever before. We need to have confidence in our faith. Your faith is going to get tried more than it ever has been. Yeah. Things which thou hast seen. The second part, chapter 2 and 3, is the things which are. Chapter 2 and 3, if you would study chapters 2 and 3, you'll find this is the seven churches. The things that are, that John is referring to, is the church age. Now, if you study chapters 2 and 3, we don't have time to do that, but you study through the seven churches, whether these churches outline and represent the dispensations of the church age or not, some believe it does, some believe they don't. Either way, it doesn't change what's written down. There's seven churches. And these seven churches, there's a message to all the churches. Can I tell you, the Lighthouse Baptist Church needs to have each one of these messages applied to this church. And as you find the churches, things start changing through the dispensation of the church age. We've got some 2,000 years of New Testament church age to look back over and see just exactly what was taking place with God's church over the last 2,000 years. I believe the greatest thing that had happened in the church age was God establishing the United States of America, because it's through the United States of America that we as a church have been given the freedom of religion by God, but through the United States of America, and has opened the doors of evangelism around the world, which is exactly what the church is to do today in evangelizing the world with the gospel of Christ. I praise God for that. God had a purpose in that. And he's allowed me to live in the United States for my life. Amen. We are privileged. If you are a United States citizen, you are a privileged individual. God allowed you to be born in this country. And the least thing you could do is represent Christ in this nation. Our own country. Yeah, support his church. Do the work that God's called us to do. Things which are the church age, the purpose, and the deadline for Christ's church on earth is going to come to an end. I love this because at the end of chapter 3, after he addresses the seven churches, I believe leading through the church age, I believe we're living in the Laodicean church age today, a very lukewarm church age for the most part, not all. There have been lukewarm churches since the beginning, amen? So that could be that there are seven churches in every church age, from the beginning of the church age with Christ all the way through to the rapture. But we are definitely overall living in a Laodicean church age. But he says in the end of this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This has been taking place for 2,000 years. The church has been evangelizing the world and telling people that Jesus loves you. And he'll convict you. He'll knock on your heart's door. And if you want salvation, all you have to do is let him in. Amen? Oh, you believe that? You believe in easy believing? No, I believe what the Bible teaches about salvation. I believe that God has made it so simple that anyone, even a child of the age of accountability, can understand that they are a sinner and they need Jesus as a Savior. Because I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, that's something that God will not do for you. He'll stand at the door. He'll convict and he'll knock. He'll send you a representation. He'll send you a soul winner. He'll send you a Christian. He'll send you somebody who will be able to help you by telling you what the Bible says you must do to be saved. And the whole time that they're telling you that, the Spirit of God's convicting your heart and Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. And it's going to come a time in your life, if you haven't already been there by now, where you have to make a decision. What will you do with Jesus knocking on your heart's door? You can block him out and you can run away and you'll die and go to a devil's hell. Or you can open your door. You can by faith say, I believe in you. I know that I need you. Jesus, you paid a sin debt that I owe and could not pay. I want to open my heart's door. I want to receive you as my own personal Lord and Savior. Would you come into my heart and save my soul? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what this church age, all seven churches, every one of them, this is the end of the church age. This is what's been going on all along. I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You've overcome the temptations of the world. You've overcome the blinders of the devil. And you've seen this and you received Christ as your Savior. I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Been going on for some 2,000 years now. 2,000 years, Jesus has been knocking on the heart's doors of humanity. What a great work to be involved in. What a great work to be involved in is taking the gospel to every creature. Taking the gospel to your family. Taking the gospel to your coworkers. Taking the gospel to your classmates at school. Taking the gospel to just anyone by doing it the way Jesus said, just knocking on their door. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. That was chapter 3, things which are. And then we're going to get into prophecy. From chapter 4 to the end of the book of Revelation is the things which shall be. Future prophecy begins with the rapture of the church. All other prophecies that have been given to us have been fulfilled leading up to the rapture. And we look back, there's been a lot of prophecies. The Old Testament prophesies the coming of a virgin, which would give birth to a child, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who would take away the sins of the world. There has been many prophecies throughout the throughout humanity, throughout the history of man. There's the prophecies that God has given to us, but all of them have been fulfilled leading up to the very next prophecy, the rapture of the church. Chapter 4 begins with John being called up to view heaven, which is a symbolic of the church being called up to view our Christ. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was if it were a trumpet. Sound familiar? Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Immediately, like in the twinkling of an eye. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So we find here that John is being called up. This is symbolic, and this is part of the rapture of the church. If you will, look back to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 with me. 1 Thessalonians. Now, listen to me. This was written 2,000 years ago. And everything leading up to the rapture and everything that the Bible reveals that will take place during during the tribulation period has been written down 2,000 years ago. To have the technology to fulfill everything that the Bible says will take place during the rapture and during the tribulation, they would have to have known about the technology of the 21st century 2,000 years ago. How is that possible? God is the only explanation. God is the only way that it could be possible. In 1 Thessalonians, look there with chapter 1 Thessalonians, let me see here, chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that have died before the rapture of the church, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope, because we'll see them again. They're not dead, they're with Christ today in spirit. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what's taking place in chapter 4. Wherefore, what he said in the book of Revelation, the introduction, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. You'll be blessed by reading it. You'll be blessed by understanding it. You'll be blessed by holding on to it and having this as a fact. Jesus will rapture his church. Chapters 4 and 5 has to deal with the saints in heaven. Look at chapter 5 and verse 8. When he had taken the book and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. That's the millennial reign. We'll get to that in just a few minutes here. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels around about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb which was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. That's us in heaven. That's what's going to take place at the rapture. That's why as you study this, you'll understand there's going to be a pre-trib rapture of the church. And there's some that's off on that. They think, no, it's not going to be till the end of the 3.5 years, and then the church is going to be raptured up, and then we got 3.5 years of tribulation, and some believe in all the different. If you study the Bible, just understand how God has placed it where he's placed it. After the church age is over, the first thing you see is John being called up. You see that that is the pre-rapture, the rapture of the church before the tribulation. Chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 6 through chapter 19 reveals a tribulation period on earth. It's going to be most of the horrific things that this world has ever witnessed. Divided into 3.5 years. There will be a great change after 3.5 years of the tribulation period, but it will still be the tribulation period. The church will not be here. It will show the world the power the church had on the civilization of the earth. Chapter 11, verse 2 and 3 reveals to us these 3.5 years. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. There's going to be a one world church. It's going to be a Gentile church, a one world government. There'll be a one world currency. This is all going to take place in the 3.5 years. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months, 3.5 years. And then we're going to find that some other things happen for the last 3.5 years, ending with chapter 19. Run out of time, so let me take you to the ending of the tribulation period. Chapter 19, verse 20. This is how the tribulation period will end. Be 7 years. We'll be with Christ for 7 years in heaven, the church, the bride of Christ, while there's a 7-year tribulation on this earth. This is how it ends, chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now listen to me. Stop worrying about if what I'm doing is taking the mark of the beast. If you're saved, it's going to be after you're gone. Amen. Who knows what they're going to do with protection? They're putting all kinds of different chips into babies and animals and everything else. And who knows what kind of the stamp they're going to put on, whatever. Understand that that's not going to take place as far as the beast is going to be leading this. The Antichrist and Satan himself will be doing this. That's going to be during the tribulation period. I don't have to worry about it. I won't be here. Amen. All of them that received the mark of the beast during the tribulation period, and them that worshiped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. 1,000 years is important because that's the millennial reign of Christ. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Chapter 20, we find the millennial reign of Christ. After the 1,000 years, or after the tribulation, there's going to be 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. The millennium is 1,000 years. Look, if you will, there in chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On the second death, and such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Going to be 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ and his bride, the church. And then we find in chapter 20, verse 15, a final judgment. There was a partial judgment, and now there's a final judgment, which will end all judgments. Chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, only to be placed there by Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. After that, chapter 21 and chapter 22, a new eternal atmosphere and earth. We will not have human bodies as we do now, so there will be no need of the atmosphere that we breathe in today. It's going to be different. Chapter 21 gives us a little insight. Again, we can't fully understand it all, but he gives us a little insight into what it's going to be. Chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. New heaven, that idea of heaven is atmosphere. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Stop worrying about, no, I shouldn't say that. But polluting the oceans. Yeah, we stopped. You ought to stop polluting the oceans, but can I tell you, they're going to be destroyed anyway. Now, global warming, they don't understand it. It is true. Because this earth is going to be destroyed as by with fire. Yeah. And not in 1,000,000 years or so. It'll be 1,000 after the 1,000-year millennial reign. It will be destroyed as by fire. A new Jerusalem coming down of God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. We're dwelling in heaven, the abode of God. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Oh, we need to have faith in them. We need to believe them and have faith in the truth of it. Chapter 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, no need, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Don't need an earth orbiting a sun. That's the present earth. That's the present atmosphere. We won't need that. It's a different dispensation. It's a different place. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. It's a dimension not like this. It's not an outer space. It's a different dimension, unlike our present dimension. Yeah. These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets has sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Which takes us right back to where we began. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Praise God for the book of the revelations of Jesus Christ. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a reason we have every book of the Bible, and I trust that as we've gone through, that's given you those reasons and you understand them, but there is not a greater book to understand and have faith to believe in than what God has revealed to us concerning the future prophecies for humanity. It's real. Stop living your life thinking this is all there is. There's so much more to come. There's so much more to live for. What a blessing. As we understand the revelations of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you would help us to have an understanding and more than that, faith to believe and to live our lives with this understanding of the future prophecies. I pray, God, that you work now as we have an invitation. If there's someone here that has not allowed Christ to come in, and he's at their door right now knocking. They understand that they're lost. They've never had a time in their life when they've opened their heart's door to Jesus Christ. I pray that would take place right here and right now. Blessing this invitation in Jesus' name.